gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got me a piece of Gary.
Cows need milking in the barn.
I have the twins on that detail. Each take a side.
But you just don't give a darn.
Give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just never seem to learn.
Man, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing me.
Gone fishing. Got your hound dog by your side.
That's old Cindy Lou going with me.
Gone fishing. A biting at his hide.
Get away from me, boys, you bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Bapa, baby, bapa, bapa,
oh, yeah.
It is always better to go fishing than wishing for fishing. That's the truth. It is time now for our early bird fishing guide. Jeff Sundin joins us on Thursday mornings. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
You bet. Even rain or shine, even hot or cold, it's always better to be fishing.
It is, absolutely. Well, let's talk about, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day to be out fishing today. Let's talk a little bit about water temperatures. What are you seeing out there?
Well, let's see. About 10 days ago or so, the water was 83, 84 degrees. Yesterday, it was down to 73 or 74, so about like a 10-degree difference, and it's been like a roller coaster like that for the last month. It was way up. I can't quite recall the exact week, but within the last month or so, I had seen water temperatures probably close to the warmest that I had ever seen when we went through that hot spell, thinking it was 85 or 86 degrees.
Wow.
A couple of lakes. That was like, it was one of those periods where you step into the lake and you didn't even notice any difference between the air temperature and the water temperature. If you were swimming or playing in the water, it was great, but it was starting to get a little bit stressful out there. Now that we got the cold weather feels a lot better. Was much more comfortable in the boat yesterday, but you could really tell the difference in how active the fish were. I wouldn't say that they dropped off a cliff, but after they were peaked up and that water temperature was so hot, you kind of got used to every kind of little fish in the lake was all biting at the same time. You throw down the weed line and, you know, bing, 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 pop, pop, pop. Something would be on the hook all the time. And it really felt kind of weird yesterday to go, you know, 5 and 10 minutes in between bites without anything happening. Sometimes even when we could see fish. So it has definitely kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Didn't stop them from biting completely, but it definitely put a little dent in the action.
Okay, so cooler, easier to find fish or get more when the waters are warmer?
Yeah, when the water is warm, the fish get so active that they almost can't say no to anything that comes by. You know, their metabolism is racing and they're feeding all the time. And then now we gets a little bit cooler like this. And like I say, it's not enough to stop everything. It doesn't... in the fall when the water really gets cold and the weed beds start to die off, that forces fish to make a move. This time they're not really forced to move anyplace. They just kind of hang out right where they already been. They've been comfortable up and around the weeds and on the drop-offs and things like that. So they're still there. You can still see them, but they just don't move as much. So it might be a time to start considering, you know, alternative presentations. Not quite so much troll. A good example would be trolling down a weed line and maybe using a spinner with a night crawler on it, and you encounter two or three sunfish. rather than continuing to fish for those sunfish by trolling back and forth with the spinner, this could be a good time to put a marker buoy in the water as soon as you catch one and then stop, anchor the boat or use the spot lock on your electric motor and just fish with a bobber and a small jig with a piece of worm or a leech or something like that, and just try to catch those fish in a known smaller area rather than continuing to cruise. And you could apply the same strategy if you had stumbled into a crappie. You know, suit your presentation to crappies, you know, maybe a live minnow or something like that. Maybe casting small jigs with plastic tails on them. Crappie fishing, that's usually a pretty good way to pin them down. So, yeah, just to make a little adjustment to the slower, and then as the water temperatures creep back up again a little bit, those trolling presentations will get to be much more reliable again.
Okay. Well, let's move on to northern pike. Give us a few tips on how to find them and catch them.
We've been talking about this lately because I fish with people this time of year who really like to catch pike, and they want to try to catch quality pike, but they also want to do it a certain way. And, you know, let's just say that we've all got our little favorite ways of doing things, and sometimes your favorite way is the right thing to do, and sometimes it's not. So you go out there. The problem that anglers have is that whatever they do works just often enough to make them think that that's what works. And so they want to go out and always do that same thing over and over again. And they wind up thinking, man, this is just dumb that I always catch fish doing this, but I'm standing here casting and casting and casting, and I'm not catching anything. And I'm especially not catching anything big. Well, in the middle of the summer, what happens when we go up into the shallow weed beds and things like that, we're trolling, and we catch tons of small pike, you know, 18, 19, 20-inch fish, and you catch so many of them that you almost get tired of it, and then you say, well, how come you can catch so many of these and never get to the big ones? Because the big ones are out roaming in the middle of open water right now. The whole food chain, it kind of starts towards the tail end of June, and all of the bugs and insects that are hatching out in the middle that attracts the bait fish out there, shiners and small perch and tulipies on the lakes that have good tulipy populations. And as these food chains set up out in the center of the lake, the pike go out and just suspend. They may be close to a structure or close to a weed bed, but they don't necessarily have to be in pinpoint locations where we can figure out how to cast to them. So somebody that wants to target a larger size pike right now would be probably way better off to troll with crankbaits, get out over open water, or even in areas where you know that there's a lot of, a smaller lake, for example, that has some deep water near maybe a couple of sunken islands or underwater bars, and you're pretty familiar with the lake's structure, and you know that there's fish out over those open holes. You could even just drift with a large slip float with maybe a half ounce or three quarter ounce egg sinker down below that, and then a short leader 18 to 20 inches with a large hook and a lively creek chub or a sucker minnow, any kind of a live minnow that will keep active underneath that float, and then cover some of these open water territories. The pike will be somewhere between, let's say, 10 feet and maybe 20 feet deep. They don't go to the bottom like a walleye does and just hold there. They'll be kind of cruising, and on lakes that have this time of year when we've got the thermoclines that start to set up on some of these lakes, you can actually read that little, there's a little band or a little line that you'll see typically 22, 21, someplace in that depth range, there will be a little line that shows up on your graph. And what that is just the barrier between the warmer water that's heated up above that and then this constant cold water below it forms that barrier, and things get trapped there. Lots of the bait fish and the predators will hide, you know, along that layer someplace. So they're just waiting to ambush anything that swims by. A good strategy, either drifting with those large minnows. And then if you've got a little bit of heavier gear and you want to dabble in lead core trolling, it seems a little complex, but it's actually really easy. The lead core fishing line has colors. Each one of those colors is like 10 feet. And so you just, if you want to try adjusting your depth, you put out two colors, three colors, four colors, et cetera. It allows you to get your crankbaits placed at a precise depth. And once you know what it is, it can be really an effective way to catch fish, because these pike will be scattered all over the lake, one, two here, and maybe it's 30 or 40 yards before there's another fish, and covering lots of water and being efficient about it as well will allow you to catch some of those larger pike right now.
What kind of line is that again?
Lead core. It's, it looks kind of like the old Dacron fishing line that some of us would have seen when we were younger, but it's got a little bit of weight in the center of it, and what it does is allows that the line itself actually brings the lure down into a deeper depth than it would travel if you were just trying to troll. You know, some of the deeper diving crankbaits that are available don't always run exactly where you want them to, so this using the lead core is a little bit more precise way of doing it. And all you really need is a medium to medium heavy casting rod, some kind of a large, doesn't have to necessarily be an expensive one, but it should be a large capacity casting reel that allows you to store it, because that line is a little bit bulky.
Okay, this next topic I'm going to take notes on here. I've been lucky so far this summer when I've released fish. They all came off very easily, but we need tips on how to remove fish from hooks when you are practicing catch and release.
Yeah, this is a sad thing for me sometimes, because I watch people try to take fish off the hook, and I realize how little most of us really know about the best ways to do this. But let me throw out this. The first tip that I can give you is make sure that the tool that will get into the right place. You know, a needle-nose pliers could come in really handy on some fish, but if you're Lindy rig fishing and you catch a walleye and the hook happens to be down in its throat, a needle-nose just is not the tool that's going to allow you to get in there, you know, and do a real finesse job. And I've been lucky over the years to fish with some doctors, and they have interesting tools that you can kind of watch. You know, you walk into a bait store and you'll see one of these little hemostat or a little clamp, and there's varying qualities of those things. And I would highly suggest that making sure that if you've got one of those in your boat, what they call a needle driver, the kind of a tool that they use when they're putting stitches in or something like that. Anyway, a needle driver, and the better quality that you can get, the more tightly that will grip the hook. And if you can get a hold of a hook and hold it securely, it's not going to slip, and you're not going to have like three and four tries at getting a hook out of a fish's throat. And one other little thing, it's very easy to do. This may sound complicated, but it's not. It's very simple, is that you can take that little needle driver and you can go in through the side of the gills. There's plenty of space in between those gills, and you can get a hold of that hook down in the bend, not up at the top or by the knot, but way down in the bend, and then rotate that hook back out and just push the needle driver up through the fish's mouth and let go of the hook after you come out. and it works very, very well, and it's very easy to make. You just have to know about it, and once you've learned it, it'll really, really help. And one more tip, I think this time of year, everybody likes to get a nice picture with their fish, but this is the time of the year when that water is warm and it really stresses the fish out. Don't pick them up and don't try to flop them around. And a lot of times they come loose and they wound up dropping on the bottom of the boat, and it's really hard on them. So this would be a good time. Be a little bit more creative. Take a picture while the fish is still in the water, or maybe you've got a very pretty lure in the fish's mouth or something like that. Take a picture at the surface, or maybe while the fish is still in the water in the net. Try some different ideas, and don't focus quite so much on handling and holding on to those fish, get them back into the water as fast as you can. And finally, if you do encounter a really tough job and you can't get that hook out, use a fingernail clippers and let the fish go with the hook in it. It's not probably the preferred way of doing things, but when push comes to shove, it's better than tugging and pulling and gouging until you finally get that thing out of there.
All right. If you're fishing off a dock, probably not just throw the fish, but get down as low to the water to get it back in there.
Dropping a fish in, there's two schools of thought on this. Some people are really super careful and gentle, and the fish kind of swims away slow. And there's another group of people that drop the fish kind of in the water. It kind of surprises them. But I wouldn't suggest, I'm not talking about tossing it 20 feet or something like that. And just drop it in so the fish is kind of startled when it hits the water, and they tend to take off faster. And I've seen both ways done, and both of them appear to work fairly well. So as long as you've handled it carefully up until you let it go, chances are it's going to go away pretty easily.
All right. Sounds great. You can read and see more at Jeff's blog at jeffsundin.com. Have a great week. We'll check in next Thursday.
Thanks. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.